Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman, and joining me in studio is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And joining us in Studio Venus is Fred Jackson.
Yes, I am here.
And joining us from the Milky Way is
somewhere
Brother Ray Pritchard.
Parts unknown.
In an undisclosed bunker location somewhere in the Milky Way galaxy.
You gotta get the Hubble what do they call that thing?
Telescope.
No, Hubble telescope to find me. I am in my underground bunker here. Almost covered up.
All right. Well, folks, we thank you for joining us here on AFR. If you want to join us on the internet, go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues. And we live video stream there. We'll be posting the stories that we discuss, where we get the information from. Jan Markell will be with us at the bottom of the hour, as will Alex McFarlane at a quarter till. So if we bore you, then maybe you'll be excited to hear Jan and Alex next half hour. So we got a little something for everybody.
I will. I'm going to be excited.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you bore me. I'm just saying I'll be excited with those two.
Just to be clear.
That's okay. We know each other well enough. We can see the look in each other's eyes when we're boring each other, can't we, Ed?
I can see that eye roll from across the room.
We don't even take offense anymore.
That's right.
All right, a lot to talk about today on the program. How many days, Ray, are we away from the presidential election? Do you know?
Is it, 95?
No,
like
88.
88. We're closing in. It seemed like just yesterday was 100 days to the election.
Wow.
Yeah, that'd be new math.
Yes, right.
88 days to keep Joe Biden hidden.
That would for be his it. Own good.
For his own good.
It's not going to be
for
an
his
easy
own
task.
Good. Yeah. 88 days. Fred, when is the first presidential debate scheduled?
Well,
and where will it be?
It is scheduled for, I believe, the end of September. That's what we've been told. However, the president has made it clear he wants to move it up because ballots are going to start to be mailed out in less than 60 days. So he says people need to see where the two, Joe Biden and President Trump, stand on the major issues and be given an opportunity for them to be seen in debate. So he would like to move those two debates up. Three scheduled. I'm not sure where the first one is.
All right.
But end of September right now is the first.
I may have done this a week ago or so. I can't remember. But if we didn't do it on the air, maybe we did it off the air. My question to you three fellows is this. And if you were a prognosticator, as they the old saying, if you were a betting man, okay, what do you say, Ed, are the percentages that Joe Biden will debate Donald Trump?
Okay, well, let me just say first, just answering that question alone.
An in-person debate. Traditional, what we're used to, presidential debate. What I'm
because
asking.
The reason I'm going to, let me just put a little caveat here. I'm not sure that even if he is nominated here at the Milwaukee convention or whatever that's going to look like, I'm not even sure that Joe Biden's going to make it to the election without being replaced. But let's just say he's nominated, gets the nomination, he's going to be the candidate. I think the chances are 80-20 that he will debate, only because I did not know they had already locked in a date. Once you've done that,
they're both campaigns have agreed on.
Yeah, once you've done that, you can't very well say, "Well, I'm not going to debate this guy; he's a liar." That should have been done before they locked in a date. So I'm saying 80-20 that
right.
They're going to debate.
I have less confidence than Ed does because I can think of a thousand ways the Dems could get out of it. I mean, in a normal world, everything Ed just said is exactly right, but this is not a normal year. The COVID stuff gives them such a convenient excuse to cancel anything. So maybe 50-50.
Fred, where's this? Fred, I want your opinion on that, but I also want to know, did you say you did or didn't know where the...
I know the date, but I don't know the location. Here's where I'm going with this right now. Because of the media reports last weekend, the left-wing media, was it Joe Lockhart,
right.
who was it Obama or Clinton's, one of his PR people?
Clinton, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what he had to say, no, Joe Biden shouldn't debate Trump because Trump's a big liar. All right. Well, I'm going to play you a piece of audio, and I believe this is why the Democrats will try to make excuses to keep Joe Biden from a face-to-face debate with President Trump. It's cut number one. Ainsley Earnhardt on Fox and Friends is introducing Joe Biden's thoughts on China. Have a listen.
Biden was interviewed about how he'll handle China. Listen to his answer.
The way China will respond is when we gather the rest of the world that in fact engages in open trade and making sure that we're in a position that the world that we deal with WHO the right way. That in fact that's when things begin to change.
Again, I'll say it. I've said it before. I cannot believe his family's letting him do this.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't.
Because Jill, his wife. Was his wife's name Jill?
Yes,
right.
Dr.
Jill Biden. She said yes, he's going to debate. So she's all in, didn't she?
But
say
what
that
I'm
last
saying,
week?
What I'm saying, not just the debate. I'm saying running for president.
Yeah,
clearly, day after day after day, Joe Biden sounds like he just did right there, slurring words, losing his train of thought on a regular basis, when he should be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he was talking about trade, and then he switched to WHO, World Health Organization.
Yeah,
I know.
He probably meant to say WTO, World Trade Organization. Mm-hmm. But he does. He makes these mistakes all the time.
Yeah, and these are different than gaffes.
Right.
By the way, did you ever put a percentage on it, Fred?
I say right now, I think it's about 70%. He won't.
He won't. I'm going to go. I don't know. I think I'm going to agree with Ray. I'm going to say 50-50. So,
well, somebody's buying everyone else lunch because
we're all over the map. Yeah. So you're saying 70-30 that Joe Biden will not debate Donald Trump.
I just think the groundwork is being laid by the Democrat operatives for excuses not to have the debate.
Well, and I thought that last week because of Joe Lockhart's comments. But the fact that the Biden campaign has actually locked down a date, I mean – How are they going to explain how
Here's what could potentially, quote, get him off the hook, end quote, on this. Notre Dame canceled the first one as the place they were going to hold it, Notre Dame University. Mm-hmm. Do you remember this happening?
Yeah, that's right.
A couple
of
weeks
right.
ago?
Mm-hmm.
They said, we can't, COVID and all that. That was a pathetic...
Really?
Yeah. Come on.
There's only going to be handfuls of people in the actual room.
I know. So that to me, that was Notre Dame saying we don't want to have protesters on our campus.
Right.
We don't want to have to choose. We don't want to be a part of this, even though they were the ones who recruited it. Right. Who wanted to have the debate. So, let's see. I'm reading an article here. Similarly, the second presidential debate was expected to take place at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor on Thursday, October the 15th. But in June, they too withdrew from hosting the event due to health concerns and the ongoing coronavirus. So here's what happens to keep the debate or debates from happening, the in-person debates. Suggest that the Democrats and Biden would be a part of what I'm talking about,
right.
Even though I have no evidence to support it. I'll just say that out front.
Yeah.
But I think it could very well happen like this. Behind the scenes, the Democratic leadership and the Biden campaign get to wherever they're supposed to have. I'm still looking for, maybe Brent, you can look it up, where they're supposed to have, now that they're not having Notre Dame, where they're supposed to have this first debate, and they get that school or that venue or that city to say, I'm sorry, we can't host this because of the coronavirus, COVID-19. And so then the Democrats and the Biden campaign say, look, Notre Dame's canceled. The next place is canceled. We don't even know where we're supposed to be. So we're saying we're going to opt out of the in-person debates. We'll be glad to do a virtual debate. And you know, that. So I'm just suggesting that that could be a possibility there.
I suppose that is possible, especially if it was done last minute. However, if they said we're not going to do any debates, I could see Hillsdale College or Liberty University saying, we'll host it. We'll host it. If Michigan doesn't, we'll host it. And we won't cancel. We'd love for you to
come. I got an idea.
Yeah.
Why didn't President Trump say, hey, we'll host it in the Rose Garden?
Yeah.
We got social distancing for, huh?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
We'll host it in the Rose Garden. The Vice President's very familiar with this.
Or in the halls of Congress.
Yeah.
Right.
So we'll see what happens there, but nobody here on this esteemed panel seems to know where they're going to have the debate. Do you know, Brent? Brent Creeley, our producer?
Just Googling, and according to Wikipedia.
Good research, Brent.
Yes. According to Wikipedia, says Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland.
They've offered?
That's
where it's supposed to be? Okay.
That's what it's saying.
Well,
there's
a place and a venue set. We'll see if it takes place. Just curious because, you know, Joe Biden is, I can't see any good coming from a debate with President Trump for his numbers. So you're listening to Today's Issues. Second story.
All right. Well, if you're an avid watcher of ABC News or CBS News NBC News, this next story, which was a big, big story yesterday, you're not going to be aware of it because they did not cover this big story. And what I'm talking about, there was a Senate hearing yesterday with the former Deputy Attorney General of the United States in the Obama administration. Her name is Sally Yates. Now, you probably are familiar with that name because of all the investigation, the Mueller investigation, and now the John Durham investigation. She was there when the decision was made after the election in November of 2016 to go after Michael Flynn. All right? Now, yesterday she appeared before a Senate committee chaired by Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. And under a suggestion from the chairman of that committee, Lindsey Graham, is it true that James Comey, the then the FBI director who gave the order to go over and interview Michael Flynn without really telling him what this was all about, Lindsey Graham said to Sally Yates, are you telling us today, because she said she did know, that you had an FBI, the head of the FBI went rogue? Cut number two. Here's her response.
I was upset that Director Comey didn't coordinate that with us and acted unilaterally. Yes, I was.
Okay. Did Comey go rogue?
Then you could use that term, yes.
Former FBI Director James Comey, according to the Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates in the Obama administration Justice Department, she says that James Comey went rogue.
And next in weather.
Yes. Except ABC, NBC, and CBS. Now, they did. They hit that hard, didn't they, Fred?
Not a peep.
Yeah. What about CNN? Do you know?
Not sure about them.
The mainstream media is trying to, you know, they hate President Trump more than they love life itself. And so they are going to, that's a bombshell, right? What you just mentioned, in this whole story about the Russia investigation, the Russia hoax, and the deputy under the Obama administration and Deputy Attorney General.
Yes.
Is that what?
Yes.
Okay. But she was not acting then?
Yes.
Was she acting Attorney General during in the latter days of the Obama administration. And she says, hey, my FBI director, James Comey, went rogue.
Yeah.
Now, if there's, Jeff Foxworthy used to say two words that don't go together are Alabama and NASA. Now, I didn't say that, folks, in Alabama. Jeff Foxworthy,
right.
your redneck fellow there from Georgia said it. He made fun of you there.
Yeah.
But there's two words that also don't go together. That's FBI and rogue. Think about that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
The power of the Federal Bureau of Investigations leader?
Right.
Doing his own thing, being a cowboy, going rogue. That's what she says. An Obama appointee. And so ABC, who else did you
NBC
say?
NBC and CBS, all three of them.
The three major television networks on their evening news don't even cover the story. Now, if that isn't, of course, we've got examples every day, but Ray, if that isn't a prime example of the Trump derangement syndrome, in other words, we have got to get this guy out of here. That's the mission of these news agencies. That's in their mission statement. So go ahead.
You know, as far as they're concerned, Tim, it's 88 days until the end of the world, right? The humanity as we know it has only 88 days left. And so they're going to bury anything that could possibly make Mr. Trump look good or make the other side look bad.
Right.
And that's all they're doing, right?
Yeah.
You said they love the idea of defeating Trump more than life itself. Really, to them, defeating Trump is life itself. They're not living for anything else.
Right. Well, and the fact of the matter is, this is a bombshell, Tim, because we're talking about after the election in 2016, between the election and the inauguration, the FBI tried to torpedo the incoming administration. This is huge. This isn't just FBI Director Comey going rogue on
whether
potential
you can wear sunglasses
or
not.
Right.
That's
this
the
is
FBI.
This is huge. This is almost like the opening salvo in a coup attempt. Now, Media Research Center was paying attention to what the major networks were covering when they should have been covering this story. And they said, quote, instead of reporting on Yates' shocking testimony, all three networks boasted how former Vice President, former Vice President Joe Biden decided to give his convention speech from the safety of his basement in Delaware. That's what they covered.
Yeah.
Now
their own team, Biden.
Yes.
All the
absolutely.
The major television, the major news agencies in this country, the mainstream media. Most all of them are on Team Biden, and as Ray said earlier, they've got to stop this national nightmare,
right?
That is Donald Trump being our president, and so they've teamed up with the Democrats to try to control the message out there. Yeah. Of course, Fred, we've always known that the mainstream media has a liberal bent, right? But they've gone from even trying to apologize for that.
Yep.
To full throttle, we don't care anymore.
No, I was telling our story meeting this morning that I did Associated Press. They have something, a feature called AP Fact Check. So I just put that in their search engine earlier this week. AP Fact Check. The only AP Fact Check they've been doing is on President Trump. I could not find one incident where AP Fact Check said something that former Vice President Joe Biden says just doesn't add up.
Lying.
Now, can you imagine? This is the largest news agency in the world. They've got this feature called AP Fact Check, and apparently everything that emanates from Joe Biden's mouth is golden.
We'll give you another example here of this. If President Trump wins re-election, and I'm not saying he won't, folks, don't misunderstand me. I think his chances are 50-50 right now, again, if I had to guess. But if he wins, it will be a miracle. Like the 1980 U.S. hockey team defeating the Soviet Union.
Yes.
The miracle on ice.
Right.
This will be in that league. okay? Because I'll give you, because think of all the entities, if that's what the word you want to use, that President Trump is up against. Okay, we can start with Communist China.
Yes.
Okay, a world power.
Right.
All right. They hate Donald Trump. They want him gone. And so that's number one. They want Joe Biden in there so they can return to business as usual.
Right.
Right.
And very good business,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, very good business. Number two, you got, and these aren't necessarily in an order of influence, but I'm just, these come to mind. So President Trump's up against China. He's up against the European Union. He's up against, he's up against the mainstream media. We just mentioned some of them. He's up against Hollywood. They all hate him. They're in lockstep. I mean, you can't say, President Trump, had a good golf outing today.
Right.
If you say that in Hollywood, you're canceled.
Right.
Okay. They hate him. He's up against the Democratic Party.
Yes.
The whole Democratic Party. He's up against, he's up against the Never Trumpers. And now I think their numbers are small.
Right.
But inside the Republican Party who are trying to subvert his nomination. So he's up against all the social media giants. Yesterday, Twitter and Facebook, I know, took down President Trump's interview on Fox News, where he said that the COVID-19, what was his exact words, Fred?
Children are almost immune.
Yeah, they were talking about getting schools open again, and in the interview with Fox and Friends, he says, these kids are almost immune. Young kids are almost.
I thought that was generally understood. Everybody knows that, right?
Well, the CDC has said that.
Okay, but for that reason, that's classified by Facebook and Twitter as quote false information.
Mm-hmm.
You see that, Ray? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. And he said they are almost immune, and that's a fact, right?
Yes,
yeah. That's.
CDC says send them back to school. Bill Gates, you know, that's the progressive's hero, right?
Right.
He said the kids got to go back to school.
Yeah.
And in most European countries, correct me if I'm wrong here, the kids are in school.
Mm-hmm.
So for President Trump to say they're almost immune, and that's false information. According to Facebook and to
Well, and this Twitter. Is going to be the case all the way up to the election. President Trump is going to be battling to get his message heard. I believe that these big social, giant social companies, social media companies, are going to increasingly squelch Trump's message, his ads, interviews, tweets. Because they know
they're going to say they're false information.
Oh yeah,
lies.
All this is going to happen, and so Trump will be fighting that all the way up to Election Day.
Yeah. So, all right, this is like, you're in the fort, and you got the enemy surrounding you on all sides. Right?
Yeah.
This is President Trump is in the fort, taunting.
Yes. Yeah.
Huh. Taunting the enemy. He goes to each side of the fort and starts taunting the forces on that side.
Bring it. Is that all you got?
I will say this.
That's
President
right.
Trump is built for this, unlike any other human being I know would have been able to handle, or politician would have been able to handle this. And sometimes it gets to him.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he just gets up the next day and fights again. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
I think I've got a
stumper
for you this week.
Trivia Friday. You know you laugh, and you know you always learn something.
What vegetable did an ancient Egyptian place his right hand when taking an oath?
That's funny now, but put yourself in my place.
That funny, Jim?
It is.
Da-dum, 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 da-dum,
but listen to the question.
Trivia Friday. You'll want to tune in 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
It's Truth for Youth Week. And whether students are in school, online, or somewhere in between, everybody needs Jesus. Let's get the Word of God to as many students as possible.
First time I heard about the Truth for Youth Bible was on American Family Radio. I promised myself that I was going to give it to someone who wasn't following Jesus.
The Truth for Youth Bible appeals to students with the entire New Testament and full-color comics which present the gospel and moral truths.
I just want to thank you so much because after reading it, I decided to give my heart to the Lord.
Revival Fires International will give one Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend this school year. Visit truthforyouth.com or call 800-733-4737. That's truthforyouth.com or call 800-733-4737.
The Truth for Youth Bible inspired me and led me to Christ.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Illinois lawmakers want public schools to stop teaching history. State Representative LaShawn Ford issued a statement calling for the abolishment of history classes in Illinois schools. He says the current classes lead to a racist society and overlook the contributions of women and minorities. Instead, he wants to craft a brand new way of teaching about the past. For starters, he wants grade schoolers to learn about gay rights and the civil rights movement. Supporters say children have been miseducated, and they warn the current system is feeding what they call systemic racism for generations. In my latest book, Culture Jihad, I wrote about how the left planned to fundamentally transform America, and it goes far beyond the destruction of statues and banning books. This is more nefarious. They're erasing our history. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live, noon to 3 Eastern, or download my podcast at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
All right, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email complimenting on what a great job we do here on this program, we call them K-Love emails.
Yes, positive and right.
Positive and encouraging. That's what we want here. So send it to comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. I'm Tim with Ed, Fred, and Ray, and joining us from the Twin Cities in the great state of Minnesota is our good friend Jan Markell from Understanding the Times Radio and also from Olive Tree Ministries. That's the name of her ministry, and the radio program airs each weekend on American Family Radio, very popular, on at noon Central Time here on AFR on Sunday, and then on Saturday afternoons at 1 Central? Yeah, 1 Central. Hey, Jan, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Jan, how long have you studied Bible prophecy?
Well, I first heard about it growing up in my Baptist church in Southwest Minneapolis, and I've studied it for. I've been interested in it for over 40 years. Certainly, I think what ignited me in the 1970s was Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and then that got millions of people interested because he explained it in plain language.
Okay, now. The scriptures talk about in Bible prophecy, I guess you could say, that there will be a world system.
Yes.
You wanted to, What I'm leading up to here, this COVID-19 situation has brought into effect, at least in the United States, if not around the world, a lot of things that we would have never guessed how
That's
they
great.
Could. A lot of things have happened that we would have said a year ago, that can never happen.
You're right.
Right?
About our constitutional right. rights.
So I'm not saying necessarily, nor is Jan, that this is it. This is this is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy that remains to be seen. But what I want you to talk about, Jan, is how things have happened that fit into the biblical prophetic message in the Bible that makes things that it talks about there seem like it could be a real possibility today. Go ahead.
Well, if we want to just confine it here to COVID with your illustration, I mean, I think one of the biggest factors, and you raised the one-world system, and indeed Revelation 13 tells us, and the church will be gone during this time, but there'll be a one-world system with a one-world ruler, the Antichrist, and a one-world religion led by the false prophet, etc. So it's a globalism, one-world system. And I think what's impressed me the most, Tim, in the context we're talking about, is how COVID has gotten the world, first of all, it's affected the whole world. It's affected, I believe, almost every country on the planet, a couple hundred nations anyway. And the cry of the globalists is they may not be saying it real publicly, is we can't let this crisis go to waste. And this is the crisis they would like to use, the globalists, the one-worlders, to make this into a one-world, because only a one-world system can tackle this global problem. And I think this is the biggest thing I've seen. Lots of things have come out of this. Invasion of privacy. We've virtually lost privacy. But I'm only looking at the one-worldism because that's what you brought up, and I think that's the most prominent issue as it concerns the last days and the crisis that the globalists needed, and here it is.
Well, Jan, you know, what's interesting is that they've been trying, the globalists have been trying for years, obviously with the, you know, the push for a kind of a single economic engine with the European Union. Then came, you know, climate change. It seemed like they were really hoping that climate change would be the thing that triggered a mass movement internationally towards a global, more of a globalist take.
Excuse me for interrupting. Just the goal of the globalist, correct me if I'm wrong, is centralized power.
Right.
Yes.
Right. World centralized power is what, because these people think that's a good thing. Then we can control everything, right?
That's
so,
right.
Okay. So, and they're not thinking they're doing the work of Satan.
Right.
They think they're helping the world progress.
Right. Right.
So world centralized control is something that they seek, and they're after the globalists. And there's many people that subscribe to this that are world leaders, right? And
absolutely.
So it's not fanciful thinking. It's not crazy. These people are out there. They speak openly. Now, they don't believe in the Bible.
Right.
But anyway, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, so the point was that. It didn't catch on with the Joe average on the street.
Right, global warming.
Global warming. I don't see
climate
it as
control.
A problem. I'm not giving up my rights for that. But now with this, the fear that's been generated does seem to be driving people, at least in blue states. We almost have a red-blue divide on this. People in blue states are going, yeah, the government can tell me to do whatever they want me to do, and I'll do it.
That's exactly right, but then this plays right into the hands of some people who tend to be a little bit on the evil side, because the one worlders are not nice people. I don't think they know they're serving an antichrist agenda that's on the horizon. I mean, you know, maybe some do, but I think by and large, I think they think they're doing the world a favor by what they're doing and their methods and their motives and all. They're doing the world a favor when, in fact, it's a very evil agenda.
All right, Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, Jan, one of the things that I've kind of been noticing and observing, you know, in biblical prophecy, when you talk about the Antichrist was, and people know this, our listeners know this, that they will have to have a mark in order to purchase something. And when I'm hearing, and we're hearing more and more of this, the governments want to track people.
Right.
They want to track people who've been exposed to COVID, who have perhaps been in a family that there were COVID. And I thought, you know, this is driven by fear. People are willing to go along with this kind of thing. You know, we now have in New York City, you have a mayor who says they're going to stop people and basically check their papers and see where they're from before they're going to be allowed in New York. They're going to stop people on the bridges, stop people in the tunnels, and check out where they're from. And I just thought that has biblical prophecy written all over it.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you just ever look at the headlines on, for instance, on Drudge Report, I mean, just because there they've got probably 100, 200 headlines every day. I mean, the sky is falling if you look at those headlines. I mean, of course, that used to be a conservative site. It is no longer. But the point is the fear that's being instilled in people. And I think one of the headlines I saw this morning is somebody's dying of COVID every 80 seconds. Well, that's not doing nothing but instilling fear so that people are going to cooperate and do whatever they're told to do so they don't have to succumb to a terrible disease. And then they, oh, my goodness, I mean, the fear factor, I've never quite seen it like this.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. One or two more questions for Jan. Ray, go ahead.
Jan, where does the move toward a cashless society fit into the bigger picture of the last days?
Well, I think we're in the process of it. I mean, again, that's part of that Revelation 13 one-world system. But do we have a run-up to some of those things going on right now? All I hear about is, you know, businesses don't want you using cash anymore. They want you only using the credit cards, et cetera. Various businesses are running out of cash. I mean, so all I'm saying is the stage is being set for some things that are going to blossom, I believe, after the church is gone, and that's up for debate. I understand that. I believe after the church is gone, a lot of these things will blossom and we'll be enjoying heaven. But the point is we're beginning to see them now. We're beginning to see foreshadows of them now. Mm-hmm. And I think the church should be paying attention.
Yeah. Jan, what are you covering this weekend on your program?
Well, I've got a guest on that you folks deal with regularly, Twyla Brace, and we're a Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And she's got an opinion on certainly on COVID, how it's being handling, and the masks and the potential a vaccine that's coming along here in probably 6-7 months. I mean, gentlemen, what do we do when we're told, if you don't take this vaccine, you can't do this, or this?
Yeah.
This is coming on the horizon, and we need to start thinking about it now.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Jan. Appreciate
you.
Appreciate your program. Appreciate you being on with us today.
All right, bye-bye.
Have you guys heard the story out of Dubai where they're training dogs to sniff out COVID? Did you see this story in the last 48 hours?
Dogs sniff out COVID.
Yes. They take people coming into Dubai, they take samples of the sweat from their skin, and the dogs are able to then, they smell these various samples, and they can pick out who has COVID. And the accuracy rate is absolutely incredible.
Well, now, I have read over the years how dogs can be trained, I'm not kidding about this either, to even detect the possibility of cancer if a person has it.
Mm-hmm.
So this wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Mm. What do they then bite you if you have it?
No. They
to mark you. They give you the mark.
They give you the mark of the dog.
Yeah. They take the samples into this room and put them in these kind of cone-shaped devices. The dog goes around and smells them. When he detects something,
I know what he does. He goes, bacon, 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 bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon. That was a good one, Ian.
Yeah. It's a crazy world.
That's a good one. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I want to pick up this idea of mandatory vaccines.
Yeah.
Joining us to Joining us now is Dr. Alex McFarland, as he does most Thursdays. And he is co-host of the radio program Exploring the Word each weekday afternoon here from 3 to 4 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio, which is a live on-the-radio Bible study that he and Bert do. And Alex joins us now. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you.
From you at home in North Carolina?
The Tar Heel State, home of Billy Graham, and where the Wright brothers flew the airplane, North Carolina.
Is that all you got?
I almost said the home of Andy Griffith.
Oh, all right.
And sure, I love the Andy Griffith Show, but I didn't like his politics.
Yeah,
you didn't like his politics,
but not Andy Griffith the character.
Oh, we're talking
Andy
about
Griffith
the,
in real life.
Okay,
all right.
Alex, we were talking with Jan Markell there for just a minute, and folks, we realize that there are differing beliefs on end times or eschatology. So we understand that, we're talking here about pre-tribulation, the eschatology, right? Basically,
yes,
right.
And so that's what we're talking about. There, we could go off in a lot of different directions on caveats to that belief, but that's where we're basically coming from. Now, I want to ask you, Alex. We were talking about the vaccinations for COVID-19, which our vaccination, I don't know if it's singular or plural, are on the horizon, right? People are talking about them being available by the end of the year. That's pretty quick, seems to me. But Dr. Fauci said that. President Trump's talked about that. Other medical folks have talked about that. Now, do you think... Alex, that vaccine will be mandatory to say, like, buy, sell, or trade, so to speak?
I think
that's a loaded question, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think absolutely there's a certain political party that would do their utmost to make it so. Because, let me say, there's not only the biological implications of, you know, what might or might not be in the medicine, but the Marxists that are basically, that philosophy has taken over much, much, much of the Democrat Party. The more they can document you, track you, they want that. And... you know, so many delineations have come down the pike: Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, evangelical, non-evangelical. Well, one of the great dividers of humanity in the last three decades has been, what do you believe about abortion? Mm-hmm. What do you believe about gay marriage? But let me say this, the people that consented to receive the mark... And those that didn't, I mean, this is yet another way that people that believe in civil rights and probably God and morality are sequestered out from those that believe in the state.
Hey, Ray, wanted to ask you, Ray, you've studied the Bible and Bible prophecy a long time as well. What do you think about this whole scenario of COVID-19 regulations fitting into control of our lives in the end of time, like the Bible talks about?
Well, it's exactly what Jan said and exactly what Alex said. We are moving into an era. I mean, I say moving out, that's not strong enough. We are rushing headlong toward more and more government control and oversight of every part of our individual lives. And Jan said that the globalists, they've been looking for some reason, some way to micromanage people everywhere, and this COVID-19 has given them that opportunity. So, you know, if you say, is COVID-19 predicted in the Bible, I don't see it specifically mentioned, but it certainly fits into the pattern of ever-growing government encroachment in every part, until you finally get to Revelation 13, where if you don't take the mark of the beast, whatever it is, no one in the whole world could buy or sell. And Tim, you've pointed out, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we couldn't see how this was possible. Well, folks, it's now right on our doorstep.
Yeah, I'm just, Fred, you might want to comment on this, and Alex and Ed. I mean, I know some people are going to think this sounds crazy, but that's okay. But I'm talking about a year from now, am I going to be told, if you want to shop, if you want to come buy your groceries at Kroger or whatever, you know, whatever kind of Albertsons or wherever, that you're going to have to either show your you know, COVID-19, what do you call it, vaccination paper? Or, yeah, or we got it easier here for you. What you do is just scan your chip,
yeah,
as you walk in.
Yeah,
and I mean, really, is no, that?
I think with within that time frame, if the vaccination is available, I think what you're going to see is your kid can't come to this public school unless we have papers that say it's been, your kid has been vaccinated. I think you're going to see, certainly in the medical field, you don't get a job as a nurse. Don't get a
the
job.
The airlines. Let's say the airlines are going to say, "Now, I'm sorry, we can't let you on our plane unless you
vaccinated."
It
may be. It may be put into labor law that you don't get a job at place A, place B, unless as an employee you've been vaccinated.
What they're going to say is, Alex, they're going to say, and then Ed, feel free to speak. We do want you here.
Okay.
We do want to hear from you again. Alex, so what they're going to say is, look at these crazy Christians.
Mm.
They don't even care about other people's lives. All we're asking them to do is get a vaccine like they do for smallpox, like we did for polio. And so there's a history to this. And now these nutty Christians and others, freedom-loving Americans, they don't want to. They don't want to. They don't care about the safety of everybody else. So, let them isolate. Let them be like the Amish. You know. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're getting there where people are going to have to decide now what their convictions are, and if you know, heretofore, there's not been a terribly high price to being a believer in America. In fact, up until just recently, it was, you know, just a socially acceptable thing to do. But we are rapidly entering the moment when there will be a price to dig in your heels and stand for Jesus Christ. And that's why I want to encourage the church, look, wean yourselves off of social media. Wean yourselves off of
the grid.
The grid, really. Yeah, all right. Do you know what? When John Lewis passed away a couple of weeks ago, Democrat from Georgia, civil rights leader, one of the keynote speakers in 1963 at Dr. King's March on Washington, and from what I could understand, a believer. Well, I tried to post something on Facebook. May God bless the memory of John Lewis, and he stood for civil rights. I mean, I wrote something which I thought was very nice and complimentary to memorialize him. Facebook wouldn't post it unless they said, We won't post it unless you go through a tutorial on political sensitivity. And I'm like, wow, I as a conservative can't even post something nice to memorialize John Lewis unless I take their tutorial on political sensitivity. So folks, we're entering this age of viewpoint discrimination and thought control. And we're going to have to decide if we stand for God or the world, and if we're willing to live and maybe even die for what we know is true.
One sentence.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
But I must say this.
Yes.
I'm not saying I'm necessarily against getting a vaccine for COVID-19. That I may or may not. I don't know. It just depends on the situation and the medicine and the science. And but I'm saying, and I know this is more than one sentence, parentheses, is that to make it compulsory to basically live is what I'm saying, right, is could be a real possibility.
Okay. Now I'm going to be a little bit throw a little monkey wrench into the discussion.
Good, because we got 5 minutes.
Yeah, thank you.
And we're talking about the end of the world.
Thanks for that.
You go ahead. Mess
okay.
everything up for us.
I do not agree with conflating these two ideas. of a mandatory vaccine and the mark of the beast. And here's why. Because exactly what you just said, Tim, which I agree with. The mark of the beast, now these may be, one may lead to another ultimately, but the mark of the beast is received in conjunction with worshiping the beast. Okay? You can't accidentally get the mark of the beast. Okay? The book of Revelation makes it very clear the mark of the beast is given to those who worship the beast and his image.
What is the beast?
Well, you want me to...
You mean what or who?
Yeah.
Well,
I can't fit that in.
It's a who.
I'm not sure anybody could. But what I'm saying is that if we... It's a separate issue about whether we should be forced in a free society to get a vaccine. I don't want listeners, this is my opinion, I don't want listeners thinking if they get the vaccine, they are taking the mark of the beast or are of the mindset that would accept it, because those are two separate things. Although people being pressured under fear of not being able to buy or sell, people being pressured to submit to the state is certainly going to drag a large percentage of people into getting the mark of the beast. Is that...
Yeah,
I'm
no,
not trying to confuse
things. I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
A little bit of stick handling there, Ed. But
good hockey reference.
No, what we're talking about here is how this could happen.
Yes.
Not necessarily saying the COVID-19 forced vaccination, should that happen, it is the mark of the beast.
Because I'm just saying I probably personally – Now, I am going to have to start studying up on vaccines because of all the talk about aborted, you know, what parts of aborted babies being used for vaccines. I don't know whether it's all of them or some of them. That concerns me. But if that's not included in the discussion, I have no problem with the government saying you need to get a vaccine. I mean, that to me is... Now, I know a lot of our listeners don't like that, but I don't have a problem with it. That seems to be... settled science, you know, that vaccines prevent you from getting a particular disease.
Well, the flu vaccine, they don't force you to get it, though. Could this be like that? You know what I'm saying?
That is, now, that being forced to get it is, it
That's
makes
what
it
we're talking
stickier.
About. No, yeah. Voluntarily?
Yeah.
People can go get a vaccine if they want to. I don't.
Sure.
So, anyway. All right, Alex, what are y'all talking about this afternoon?
Well, we're in Matthew chapter 11. Bert and I are going through the Gospel of Matthew, and yesterday we're talking about how Jesus proved his messiahship in response to some of John the Baptist's questions. And, you know, it's such a blessing. We at least, oh, I don't know, 2-3 times a quarter, people say, hey, I just found your show, and riding in the car, I prayed and accepted Christ. And so, surely the majority of listeners are probably believers, but there's a fair evangelism quotient in exploring the word, too.
Yeah, amen. All right, Brother Alex, thanks so much.
Hey, God bless you guys, and folks, pray for America.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's Dr. Alex McFarland joining us from the Tar Heel State of North Carolina. All right, Fred, thanks.
All righty.
Steve Jordahl is now landing on Venus as...
He's backing his rocket into his parking space. Yes.
Backing a rocket. Okay.
Wasn't that a song by Elton John or something?
Yeah, something about backing the rocket man. Something.
Yeah. All right, so Ray, Ed, and Tim will be back with Steve. And Fred's leaving. So if you want to be on this show one day, folks, you're going to have to go with a one-syllable name. That's all I'm saying here. All right, we'll be back with our producer, Brent, in just a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.